All right, where is Matt? Matt was our teacher this morning up in the classroom, did a great job, and he, yeah, man, give him a round of applause.
Yeah.
And he spoke about pain. I couldn't help but think of that Rocky movie. You know, they asked Clubber Lang, you know, what do you predict for this fight? And he looked in the camera and he said, pain, you know. And he talked about how God uses pain in circumstances to really draw us near to him, you know, and we want to reject pain all the time. Not that we want to embrace it all the time either. We don't want to walk around looking for pain. But when we go through, it's always an opportunity to draw near to God and to see what he would have in our life. And it may be physical pain we go through. It may be circumstances that we go through, a death or a separation or a loss of job or whatever it might be. He used Joseph this morning as a great example. How he's rejected by his brothers, almost killed. They sold him into slavery. He was falsely accused, put in jail, and then many years later, he was exalted to the right hand of Pharaoh. And you know what? And I'm sure that was a painful time for him, you know? And we go through those seasons, but we can't see a lot of times what God has for us at the end of the road because we'd want to reject that. And but usually when we get through that that season of pain, you know, pain will only endure for the night, but joy comes what? In the morning. And I like that. I like that. So good job. We got a lot of good young men, a lot of good young women that are God's just using in incredible ways. So, all right, we're going to pray and ask God to bless Pastor John here now. Father, we thank you as we come and have the word of God minister to us. We pray, Lord, that you would take these words and you would feed our souls this morning. Lord, that our souls would cry out. Lord, that they would thirst like a thirsty man in the desert. Lord, that they would hunger like a man who has been starved. And Lord, that we would take your word and that we would be fed by it this morning. Lord, we pray for Pastor John. Let your anointing be upon him. Lord, let this word challenge us. Lord, let it strengthen us. Let it encourage us. Lord, let it motivate us. Father, we thank you. And we thank you in Jesus' mighty name, and we all said, amen.
After only 10 or 15 years, last week, if you remember, I spoke about how we need to step out of our comfort zone and be forceful and push hard after God if we want to be truly satisfied as Christians. And if we want to advance his kingdom, if we want to be fulfilled and bring honor and glory to his name. We looked at Matthew 11:12, which tells us from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing and forceful men lay hold of it. We saw that the Holy Spirit gives us power, the power that we need to be that kind of forceful person and to be able to step up to the plate and take a stand for the things of God, to fight the good fight. And we need to have that fighting spirit within us. You know, sometimes it's fighting our own flesh more often than not. And, of course, there are many other things that we have to deal with, too. And today I want to talk about another fight that I just barely touched on last week, and that is a struggle that all of us will face as long as we live. And this fight is not against flesh and blood. It's a struggle against the spiritual forces of evil that we have to deal with in this world. And we've given him a name, and his name is the devil that we call him. And just like so many other struggles, it's not something fun. We don't really want to get into this battle. I mean, who wants to be fighting all the time? Who wants to be having to deal with that kind of stuff? But the fact is, there are a lot of people who don't even see that there is a spiritual, or they don't want to see that there's a spiritual battle that we as Christians are going to be involved in. There's no way to avoid it. Sometimes people think, well, maybe it would just be easier if I wasn't a Christian. Then I wouldn't have to deal with that. Well, non-Christians, believe it or not, are in this war too. The only difference is they're just not fighting. Because they don't believe it or they don't see it. They don't know about it. So they're not fighting because they're already taken over. They're prisoners of war. They're already enslaved. They're captives. And they're enslaved in the chains of sin and death. And we've been set free from that. Now, if I had a choice, if you have a choice to be a prisoner of war and you're bound up and you're thrown into this darkness and you're enslaved by sin and death, or the other option is to enter the fight, be this soldier who's fighting, and you're on the winning side, and you get to live in freedom, and you get to help rescue others, or, you know, escape being a prisoner, which side would you choose? You want to just go down to prison and give up? Or would you rather fight? Fight. And then be on, not only on the winning side for ourselves, but we actually get to be able to help others then escape from that slavery. So that's the only sensible answer, is to fight. We need to fight to protect the gift of freedom that Jesus died for. I mean, he paid a heavy price for our freedom to rescue us from being enslaved. And that freedom is what gives us now the opportunity to walk in the identity, to walk in the destiny, or walk in the plan that God has designed for us. Because you know that God does have a plan for your life. And it's a good plan. And this freedom is what now gives us the victory over sin and death. Just like we sang that song, take heart. In this world, you will have problems, but be of good cheer, or take heart, for I have overcome the world. That's the good news. So why all this talk about fighting? Because the devil is real, and he wants to knock you off your course. He really does. He wants to rob you of every good thing that God has planned for you, that God has in store for you, that God has already given you. He wants to make you ineffective. He wants to make you unproductive. He wants to take you out of the game. If it's at all possible, he wants to pull you out. God's word is very clear, though, as we will see, that we really do have this fight. Like I said, some people don't want to see it. They don't want to believe it. They don't want to deal with it. But it's there. We have a living, breathing enemy who schemes and plots and plans to try to disrupt our life. He wants to wreck God's plans. That's why 1 Peter 5:8 tells us, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now, was that written for non-Christians or for us? For us. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. That's what he does. He wants to steal every good thing that God has for you. He wants to, you know, destroy you. He wants to do it any way he can. Ephesians 6:12 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Now, I'm sure probably most of us here think, man, I got enough to deal with as it is. Just paying the bills, just getting to work on time, keeping the car running, watching the kids, trying to keep my life together, trying to do, you know, all these things. And now you're telling me I got to worry about what's going on in the spiritual realm too? Sorry. Not sorry, as Reese's would say. My job is just to alert you. You know, because that's what the Word of God says. Be alert. You know, the devil and his demons and all those heavenly things in the heavenly realms, the evil ones, are just as real as the things that we can see. In many ways, they're more real. And they're certainly more dangerous to us than a lot of things that we can see. To ignore them is something we do at our own peril. To ignore them, to pretend they don't exist, can only hurt us. Now let me say this. We don't have to be afraid. I am in no way, in any way, trying to tell you that we need to be afraid of this. We just have to be aware and deal with it. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but He's given us power and a love and a sound mind so that we can deal with whatever we have to deal with. He's given us His Holy Spirit. We have absolutely, with God's on our side, we have absolutely nothing to be afraid of. I hope you know it's true that God has a plan for your life. He's put things inside of you, each one of us. And He has a plan to use those giftings, to use those talents and abilities for His glory. But what's also true is the devil makes plans for your life too. And they're not good plans. His plans are to destroy those good things that God is trying to do, to disrupt your life, to cause you to be filled with guilt and anxiety and fear and doubt and make you want to just give up. That's the way He works. He's always hard at work, scheming, planning, looking for ways to nullify God's word in you. To make it seem untrue, to make it seem impossible when the Word of God tells us that all things are possible with God. Through Christ, we have the power to defeat our enemy and watch His plans go down in flames as they have so many times in the past. I think about Moses. God had great plans for Moses. He was destined to be a great deliverer to the Israelites. He was sort of a forerunner or a shadow of Jesus as a deliverer. But the devil had other plans for Moses. If you remember the story back in Exodus, I'm not going to read all that. It just back in Exodus chapter 1 and starts around verse 22. It's talking about how the devil worked through the Pharaoh, if you remember the story, and he had all the boys that were born at that time thrown into the Nile River to drown. That was his plan. Of course, the devil was just working through him. Now Moses, like the other boys, was also thrown into the Nile. But his mom didn't listen to the law that said throwing into the Nile was a safe and effective method. Instead, his mother put him in a basket, put tar on the bottom, and prayed to God that somehow her baby would be spared. Well, somehow, just by some amazing coincidence, Moses was found and rescued by the Pharaoh's own daughter. And so Moses ends up being rescued and raised in the Pharaoh's household, the very one that he was trying to destroy. God's got a tremendous sense of humor. Then in the New Testament, we find another story that's very similar. And this time, the devil is, again, he's trying to stop God's plan. So he knows that Jesus, the Messiah, is supposed to be or have been born, so he comes up with a plan to have him killed. You remember that? He is King Herod this time. All the baby boys were supposed to be killed. All the ones that were 2 years old and under would be killed. Because he had learned from the wise men that, this was the time the Messiah was supposed to be born. So in this case, it's in Matthew 2:13 that Joseph had been warned to move to Egypt. And so he took the mother and child, and they went off to Egypt because they got that word from God. They went according to God's instructions. It seems like the devil just keeps missing. He just, for some reason, he just can't get it right. And there's a reason, and that is because God's plans are far superior to the devil's plans. Far, far and above. His thoughts are not only higher than our thoughts, his ways are not only higher than our ways, but his thoughts and ways are higher than the devil's ways too. Even the part about going to Egypt. It tells us in Matthew 2:15, it says, out of Egypt I called my son. That was a prophecy speaking of a prophet from the Old Testament. And it tells us in that Matthew 2:15 that was prophesied, and that's why Jesus was there in Egypt and then called back out at a certain time. So see, God had this already all planned from ages past, but somehow the devil just, he keeps messing up. He doesn't get it. When Jesus, when his ministry was just beginning, if you remember, I'm sure you do, after he was baptized, he was led by the Holy Spirit out into the desert where he was fasting and praying for 40 days. So the devil thought, this would be a great time. He's going to be weak. He's going to be, you know, hungry. He's not going to have it all together. And so he tried very hard to defeat Jesus out there in the desert. But you know what? It didn't work again. Again, his plans failed. We all know that Satan's greatest and grandest plan, the biggest plan, the one that he worked so hard for, he got so many people involved, was the cross. Getting Jesus to be murdered, to be crucified on the cross. Now he was going to destroy once and for all the Savior, the Messiah, Savior of all mankind, and then God's plans would be completely finished. He was all ready for it. He was going to destroy the Son of God. Well, we know how that turned out for him, right? I can almost hear God saying, hey, how's that working out for you? Every time now when one of us wears a cross, or it's like a slap in the face to the devil. It just reminds him that his plans just keep getting blown out of the water. But even though the war is won, and it is, sin and death have been defeated. That's why Jesus then came to this earth. So even though the war is won and the victory of ours, we still have to be aware of the lies and the schemes and the plots and the traps that the devil is laying for us all around the place. Because he's still around. In order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. 2 Corinthians 2:11. See, we don't want to be outwitted by the devil. We don't want to fall into one of his schemes. Ephesians 6:11 tells us, to take your stand against the devil's schemes, to stand up against them. To take a stand against the plots, the plans of the devil. To be able to do this, 1 Peter 5:8 warns us that we have to be self-controlled and alert. We have to be alert. We have to be keep our guard up. We have to be aware. We have to understand what's going on. Why? Because the enemy's still alive. He's still out there, prowling around like a lion, it says, looking for someone to devour, someone who's not paying attention. You know the story, the lion. Which animals get devoured by the lion? The ones that are disconnected from the herd, the ones that are wounded, the ones that are left behind, the ones that ignore, the ones that go off on their own, think they don't have to worry. Those who don't believe in lions. Those who don't believe that there could be a lion on the loose. Those who don't think a lion could ever get them. Those who don't recognize sometimes a lion right in front of them. Because that's what the devil does. He's a schemer. Remember, it says in 2 Corinthians 11:14 that he can be disguised as an angel of light. Sometimes he's right there trying to mess with us, and we don't even know it. Somebody's speaking to us, some philosophy, some book we're reading, some movie we're watching, somebody who's speaking into our life. It might even be somebody who claims to be a minister or an evangelist or somebody, you know, somebody walking right into the church. Somebody sitting right next to you, it could be. It could be your neighbor. It could be a friend. It could be a coworker that the devil would use to spread his lies. He can display all kinds of counterfeit miracles and wonders. 2 Thessalonians 2:9 tells us that. That the devil can do. Remember when the snakes with the, you know, when Moses was in there talking to Aaron? Moses was in there with the snakes, yeah, and his staff, I mean, and then they were doing all the different ways of miracles that he was using to convince the Pharaoh, and his magicians copied a bunch of them. The devil can do counterfeit miracles. There was a man by the name of Edgar Casey. He used to have a radio program, and people would call up on the radio program, and he would go into a trance. And from that trance, he would speak on the radio and tell people where things were in their house that they could take to get healed. And guess what? They got healed. Of course, later on, it came back. It never lasted. But it was something that was used to fool people. I mean, wouldn't you be amazed if somebody said they're working for God and they say, go into your house and your pantry down on the third shelf, there's a box there that's going to say this. Take 2 teaspoons of that. That's what he did. That was the devil. That was demonic. See, demonic spirits can see. They can see that stuff. They could tell someone to say it. The devil can do things like that. He can speak to us. He can deceive. He can show crazy signs. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. He's cunning. He's crafty. He's a connoisseur of schemes and plots. Read the book Screwtape Letters. And it gives you some insight into how the devil can work in people's lives. He hits us with discouragement, fears, doubts, anger, pride, all kinds of things like that. He can put thoughts in our head, temptations in our head. He's worse than the Terminator. He just keeps coming back. In fact, you know what? There's no way that we can beat him by ourselves. I couldn't beat the devil by myself. You can't either. But with God, all things are possible, right? With God, we can do all things through Christ Jesus our Lord and Savior. The devil is absolutely no match for God or God in us. If God is in us, if God is for us, who can be against us? No one. In his mind, he thinks he can do something to us. So he keeps trying. If he didn't think he could do it, he never would have tried in the first place. Somehow, for some reason, he still thinks he can do this stuff. But in reality, the devil's not even on the same playing field as God. He's a created being. He's a former angel. A fallen angel. And none of the plans that he's ever made against God have worked out. None of them. And they never will. So this is the key in how to defeat the devil. Think about that. If the devil has never been able to pull one over on God, he has never been able to thwart God's will or purpose. He can't stop what God is going to do. So the key is that we have to make sure that we then are in Christ and walking in his plans. That's the key. That's it. We have to be in Christ, submitting our will to him, walking in his plan. Then we are in a sanctuary. We are in a high tower. We are in a fortress. He's our rock and our fortress. That's how we can build a house that the winds will not destroy. That's how we can live a life that the devil won't be able to destroy. James 4:7 says, submit yourself then to God. That means get into his will, right? Resist the devil. And guess what it says? What's next? He will flee from you. See, he realizes then, he can't beat us when we're in Christ. He can't beat us when we're in God's will. So if we submit ourselves to God, then we resist the devil. So we still have to be aware. We still have to know what's going on. We resist him. He will flee. He'll go. He'll leave. Remember, in the desert, what did he do? He gave up on Jesus and he left. He thought there would be a more opportune time, but there really, really wasn't. He tried to get him in the garden, but that didn't help either. He tried to destroy him on the cross. That didn't help either. There really was never a more opportune time for him to defeat God. In his mind, he maybe thought there was some. So now he knows he can't get God, so he figures, okay, I'll go after God's people. Why not? So when we're in Christ, though, we're covered by him. We're clothed in Christ. We're walking in his will. Basically, we're covered. First Peter 5:9, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. So see, it's telling us, we're all going to go through this. No one is exempt. Resist him, stand firm in the faith, and know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. So see, anytime we're in a war, anytime we're in a battle, we're in a struggle, there's some suffering that goes with it, right? Because we're dealing with this flesh of ours. We're dealing with the temptations, the things that seem like, oh, this will be great, that'll be great, or this happened to me, or that happened to me, and, you know, oh, I got to deal with that. Now, yes, we got to deal with it, but yes, we can win. The victory is already ours. It's a done deal as long as we stay in the plan. It's like we're driving a tank right through the midst of a bunch of revolvers. What are they going to do to us? The bullets come flying, but we're driving a tank. So we need to humble ourselves and submit to God. That's what it's telling us there. Submit yourselves to God. Whenever we start walking in our own will and doing our own thing, it's like that our pride is rising up, and it's like we have, all of a sudden, that pride's like a homing beacon. And it's sending out a signal to the prince of pride. Remember, he was prideful. That's why he stood up against God and got kicked out of heaven. He thought, I will ascend. I'll be like God. And he tries to put that in us. The pride of life. The pride of our own self. And so when we start to reject God's plan and walk in our own plan, we're just saying, beep, 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 beep. Come and get me. But if God is our hiding place, if we're in Christ, we're submitted to Him, the devil can't even, he has a hard time discerning what's happening in us, what's going on. Because we're in Christ. We're walking in His plan. We're actually part of God's plan then, part of His process. And the devil can't beat God. He keeps trying, but he doesn't. So far we've seen that if we want to overcome the devil, God's word has given us all kinds of instructions in how to do it. We have to be self-controlled. We have to be alert. We have to be aware of the devil's schemes. We need to resist him. And we need to stand firm in the faith, submitted to God's will. See, there's tactics in the war, in the battle. God gives us the tactics. He gives us the battle plan. And then He gives us His Holy Spirit to empower us. So our arsenal is growing. And then in Ephesians 6:10, we find we have still more weapons, both offensive and defensive. And it says in Ephesians 6:10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on God's full armor so that when the day of evil comes, when the devil comes after you, that you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to still stand. So we have the armor of God to keep us strong and steady so that we don't fall back. It protects us. And then in verse 17, it points out our offensive weapon, which is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, which we've already seen. That's how Jesus beat the devil in the desert. He just quoted the Word right to him, and the devil ended up having to leave. It's an amazingly powerful and effective weapon, the Word of God. Way beyond anything we can think of. It's not just like regular words. When we get that Word into us, there's power in that. There really is. We've also been told in verse 18 to pray in the Spirit, which is basically like keeping in contact with the Lord of the hosts, our commander. Keep in contact with God. And then it says, with this in mind, be alert. Again, be alert, over and over. And always keep praying for all the Lord's people, because all throughout the world, we're all undergoing the same suffering, right? We're all dealing with this. So we're supposed to pray for one another, encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today. I know what you're going through. I've done that too. But you know what? God has really given me strength. God has blessed me. And so we can encourage one another. And finally, we have a promise from Jesus Himself in Luke 11:19. It says, I have given you authority. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome. And that doesn't mean we get out there like some of these churches and hold snakes or put scorpions in our shoes and see if they bite us. That's ridiculous. To overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. I like that. I have given you authority. Skip the snakes and scorpions part, because we know we're not literally telling us to do that, but it's there. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. What does that mean? It means nothing will harm you. That you can overcome all the power of the enemy in God, in Christ, as we follow after Him and walk in His will. Then the devil doesn't stand a chance. His plans against us, if we do all those things, his plans against us will fail, as they have millions upon millions of times in the past. As they have for millions upon millions of other Christians. His plans will fail as they did on Jesus. As they did against God himself. The devil has no authority over you. He does not have authority over you. God has given us authority over him. The only authority he has is what he can scheme and con into you. You know those, it happens all the time. You get these phones, they're constantly warning people about the phone scammers and the con artists that come up and they trick you into different ways of giving you your social security number or your account numbers or things like that. You've all heard of those, right? You never, ever, ever, when somebody calls you up or sends you an email, you never, ever give them your social security number. If you have any doubts whatsoever, you say, fine, I'll call back my bank. If you're my bank, I'll just call my bank back and I'll talk to them. If you're my broker, if you're my hospital, if you're my whatever it is, you don't give it away. I hear about it all the time, people getting caught up in those things. If you don't give something to him, give to them, you can't be scammed. If we don't give the devil, we can't be scammed. Because that's how he works. He's a schemer. He's a con artist. He's a scammer. God has already taken care of the problem. We have to stand now in God's power. And in his word, and be led by the power of his spirit, and resist the devil, submit to God and resist the devil, and then he'll have to flee. Satan cannot defeat you in Christ. You can defeat the devil's plans for your life. I'm not just saying that. That's the Word of God. That's what I just read, all those scriptures. If you forgot them, get the CD. In Christ, we have the victory. God lays out the plan. He said it's done. It is finished. The war was won on the cross. And all we have to do now is basically collect the spoils and walk in that victory. He came back. After he died, he came back and said, I'll be with you. I'll be there for you. He said, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit to give you power. Those who are led by my Spirit will be my sons and my daughters. And we don't have to worry then. Like I said, we have to be aware. We have to deal with it. But we don't have to be in fear. We don't ever have to be in fear of the devil. We don't have to be in fear of his plans. We just have to defeat those plans. So if I could have the prayer team come forward. Let's close in prayer. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, that you have made clear in your word the things that we can do, that we need to do as your people, as your sons and daughters, as your family, as those that you love. Lord, we know now, we know what we can do to stand up against every plot, every scheme, every scam that the devil tries to put into our life. Lord, help us to be constantly aware, to watch, to be on guard, to stand firm against the attacks, to stand firm against the plans, to stand firm against the schemes of our enemy. Lord, and be faithful to you. Help us, Lord God, to just have the joy of our salvation and not let the devil rob us of our joy. Not let the devil rob us of your love, of your power that's in us, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Thank you, Father, for everything you've done for us, Lord God. Thank you for your protection. Thank you, Lord God, for your word, which makes it so clear to us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, who empowers us, Lord God. Thank you for dying on the cross for us, Lord God. Thank you for giving us life, for creating us, Lord God. Thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. Amen. We have coffee and donuts upstairs, so please feel free to hang out.